you bribe the right politicians in the right order at the right time, you can trade the nuclear warheads for medicine, and it's not even a crime. $1 on clinical trials, $600 on making you dead. Your leaders aren't evil.
Stone Age emotions, medieval institutions, godlike technology. This is not a bug, it's the operating system. And the operating system is trying to kill you with nuclear weapons and preventable disease simultaneously, which is an impressive amount of multitasking for software that was originally designed to find berries. The selfish gene made you illogical. It was a good idea at the time. Richard Dawkins put it perfectly. We are survival machines, robot vehicles blindly programmed to preserve the selfish molecules known as genes. Translation, you're a meat puppet controlled by chemicals whose entire business plan is make more chemicals before something eats us. On Wishonia, when we first intercepted this description, we thought it was satire. Then we observed your behavior and realized it was the most accurate description of a sentient species anyone had ever written, which is sad, but also very useful, because accurate descriptions are how you fix things. Your genes don't care if you're happy. They don't care if you live past 30. They care about exactly one thing, making copies of themselves before something with teeth finds you. This is the entire explanation for human behavior, and every other explanation is a footnote. For 99.9% of human history, this was brilliant engineering. The tribes that were paranoid, violent, and territorial survived. The ones that were trusting, peaceful, and generous were eaten by the paranoid ones, which is evolution's way of saying, nice guys finish extinct. Now, your paranoia makes you distrust strangers you need to cooperate with. Your territorial instincts make you build weapons you'll never use. Your tribal loyalty makes you fight over territory you don't need. The genes are still celebrating. You are not. Part 1. Your brain was optimized for a world that doesn't exist. The violence module. Or why you tend to prefer bombs over band-aids. 15-30% of your ancestors died from violence, not disease, not starvation. Other humans smashing their heads with rocks over territorial disputes about berry bushes. You've since upgraded the rocks to intercontinental ballistic missiles, but the berry bush energy remains. This is what biologists call conserved behavior. It means the behavior has been preserved across millions of years because it was so useful that evolution never bothered to remove it. On your planet, it's the reason you spend more preparing to kill each other than preparing to not die. The behavior was designed for a world where the stranger approaching your camp might eat your children. In that world, it was rational. In a world with nuclear weapons, it's the reason I'm writing this book. The tribes that survived assumed every stranger might want to kill them, often statistically accurate, struck first when threatened, natural selection at work, formed tight combat groups to kill other groups, teamwork, and hoarded weapons obsessively, can never have too many pointy sticks. Your brain is still running this exact software. That's why you instinctively distrust people who don't look like your tribe, why Twitter arguments feel like actual combat, your amygdala genuinely can't tell the difference, and why countries with thousands of nuclear weapons are worried they don't have enough. The violence module kept your ancestors from getting clubbed to death. Now it's building weapons that could end all life on Earth. Computer scientists call this feature creep. Biologists call it maladaptive. I call it the most expensive software bug in the history of any civilization I've observed, and I've observed 847. The tribal brain, or why democracy was always going to be a mess. Dunbar's number says humans can maintain stable relationships with about 150 people. That's your entire social capacity. Your brain has 150 slots for caring about people, and you've filled most of them with coworkers you tolerate and celebrities who don't know you exist. Your brain treats anything outside your 150-person monkey sphere as an abstraction. You care more about your neighbor's barking dog than 10,000 people dying of malaria because the dog is right there being loud and malaria is just a concept with numbers attached. Local corruption makes you angrier than trillion-dollar Pentagon waste because the local guy stole $10,000 you can imagine, while according to DOD audit failures, the Pentagon lost $2.5 trillion, which is just syllables. You'll donate to save one sick child whose face you can see, but ignore statistics about millions, because one child has eyes, and millions is just a very big number that makes your brain hurt and then change the channel. Democracy asks this brain to make civilization-level decisions. It goes exactly as well as asking a Labrador retriever to do your taxes. You vote based on who looks stronger. Your brain thinks the election is a wrestling match, who your tribe likes, if the clan approves, must be good, who makes you feel safe, fear sells better than policy ever will, and who you'd have a beer with. Relevance to nuclear policy? Zero. You elect leaders using the same brain circuits your ancestors used to pick the guy with the biggest club. The guy with the biggest club is now in charge of the biggest nuclear arsenal, and your brain sees no problem with this, because your brain was designed before clubs could destroy continents. Part 2. Genetic slavery is literally killing you. Evolution prepared you for scarcity, predators, and violence. You got abundance, safety, and Netflix. Your bodies responded with the biological equivalent of a computer trying to print a sandwich. Here's the cosmic joke. Humanity has never been safer, healthier, or more prosperous. You've also never been closer to wiping yourselves out. You solved poverty and invented nuclear war in the same century. Very on brand. You've solved starvation. You throw away 40% of food because storing it is inconvenient. You solved predators. You murdered them into extinction, then put them in zoos so your children could see what you killed. You solved infant mortality, basically eradicated in developed countries, which makes the death rate in poor countries feel more optional and thus more tragic. You solved most infectious diseases. Vaccines work despite what Facebook says. You solved dying at 30. Now you complain about turning 40, which your ancestors would consider a miracle worth celebrating daily. Then, with the time and energy freed up by not being eaten by bears, you invented nuclear weapons, enough to end civilization 13 times because once wasn't enough, climate change, you're terraforming your only planet by accident into a planet that can't support you, which is the most expensive accident in the history of accidents, antibiotic resistance, 10 million deaths annually by 2050 because you gave antibiotics to cows, which is a sentence that would take me an hour to explain to anyone on Washonia because every part of it is insane, AI that might become sentient and decide you're the problem, the AI would be correct, and social media, voluntary psychological torture you pay for with attention, which is the only currency more valuable than money, and you're giving it away for free to watch strangers argue. 8 billion gene copies and counting. From evolution's perspective, an unqualified triumph. You're just the disposable meat robot they use to do it. Humanity is a toddler who found the nuclear launch codes. Godlike technological power, hamster-level impulse control. Part 3. Why you can't just be better. Your conscious mind controls maybe 5% of your decisions. The other 95% is your ancient lizard brain running software older than agriculture. You think you're the pilot. You're actually a passenger who occasionally gets to suggest a direction, and the actual pilot is a 200,000-year-old survival algorithm that doesn't speak your language and doesn't care about your preferences. This scales to civilization. Your brain's fear center, amygdala, is directly connected to your voting finger. Politicians know this. Say, terrorism, and your lizard brain overrides everything. More people die from falling out of bed than terrorism. You're 35,000 times more likely to die from heart disease, but terrorism feels scarier because evolution optimized your fear response for things with faces, not things with cholesterol. A man with a gun activates every alarm your brain has. A cheeseburger activates your reward center. The cheeseburger is statistically more dangerous than the man, but your brain doesn't do statistics. Your brain does vibes. Your entire civilization is governed by vibes. The fear of violent death is older than language. The fear of slow death from disease? Your brain files that under boring, deal with later. Later never comes. Neither does the cure. That's why you spent $2.72 trillion on weapons while cancer research got pocket change. Your bed is more dangerous than Al-Qaeda, but nobody's declared a war on furniture. Your brain can't get scared of something that kills you slowly and politely. It needs something that kills you fast and rudely. This is a design flaw. On Washonia, we fixed this 4,297 years ago by separating resource allocation from the organs that process fear. On Earth, you still let the amygdala vote. Part 4. Breaking the chains. Every single one of you is going to die. From the most powerful president to the lowliest pauper, you face a life of gradually escalating suffering until it ends. This is not a warning, it's a weather report. You can feed everyone twice over, but you'd rather burn grain to keep prices high. You can cure diseases, but you'd rather sell treatments forever. Cured customers don't come back. Bad for quarterly earnings. You could be immortal space wizards. Instead, you're cave-dwelling murderers with better tools, because the current system makes irrationality profitable, spectacularly profitable. Every bomb makes someone rich. Every missile funds a yacht. Every war creates a billionaire. Disease is profitable too, not curing it, treating it. Insulin costs $300 a vial because dead diabetics don't buy insulin, but cured diabetics don't either, so you keep them barely alive. It's good business. On Washonia, good business that requires people to suffer has a different name. The name is crime. But on your planet, it's a quarterly earnings call. The people making money from war and disease aren't evil. They're just rational actors in a system that rewards the wrong things. You can't change human nature. 200,000 years of evolution doesn't care about your TED Talk. But you can create economic systems that make curing people more profitable than killing them. That's the only upgrade your species has ever responded to. Expecting a brain built for hunting gazelles to handle nuclear policy, climate change, and a global economy is like expecting a calculator to run a space program. The calculator isn't broken, you're just asking it to do something it was never built for. You can't fight 200,000 years of evolution, but you can hack it. That's what a 1% treaty does. Instead of asking people to be rational, impossible, it uses their irrational impulses. Greed, make curing disease more profitable than building bombs. Fear, make politicians more scared of voters than lobbyists. Tribalism, create an us versus disease tribe instead of us versus them. Social proof, get 3.5% participation so others follow. Immediate rewards, pay people cash to join medical trials. Each of these is a hack that redirects an ancient instinct toward a modern goal. None of them require humans to be better. All of them require humans to be exactly as selfish, fearful, and tribal as they already are. Your genes enslaved you in brains that fear strangers and cannot comprehend statistics, but they also gave you the ability to see the prison. No other animal can think, "Wow, my instincts are completely illogical." That's uniquely human. Use it. A 1% treaty doesn't ask you to be better. It assumes you won't be and redirects your worst impulses toward not dying. It's the only plan that works for the species you actually are, rather than the species you wish you were. On Washonia, we wish you were better too, but we've learned over 4,297 years of observation that wishes are not a resource allocation mechanism. Money is. So, we're using money.
Thank you so much for taking the time to end war and disease. But if at any point you decide you're too busy, please share this with a friend who's got a free afternoon and have them end war and disease instead. And if you're too busy to even do that, the absolute least you could do is take 15 seconds to go to warondisease.org and tell us what fraction of humanity's resources should go to explosions versus clinical trials and vote on the 1% treaty. If the treaty passes, your vote will be personally to blame for saving 38.4 lives and preventing 6.9 million hours of suffering. Go to warondisease.org right now. Love you. Bye.